Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. It is Christmas weekend, so Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Let's go.
Happy all the things. Happy New Year.
I'm still planning on heading up and watching the Eagles Christmas morning.
You can't not.
You can't avoid that.
Tradition. Yeah. It's a tradition that is... would be a sin not to partake in.
Exactly.
So, but this hopefully I was just speaking of the Eagles, I just went and did like a little, I've done a couple visits. They weren't there unfortunately. Dang. Until yesterday. I went up and yesterday was a beautiful sight.
You went up yesterday. Yeah. Whoa.
There was some
good old baldies, dude.
Some monsters up there. So
really? How many? Yeah.
There were plenty.
Plenty. Yeah. Sick.
Most of them were though, like kind of out in the distance.
Oh.
But some of them were right overhead. So,
it's good.
It's a treat.
It's good. Feeding? All just consuming some fish or?
No, dude, just perched.
Just perched.
Perched.
A lot of photographers on the bridge or what?
There was a few. Few. They always put me to shame with their massive lenses.
Yeah, the 70 to 300.
Felt like a pelican out there with my 70 to 200. Yeah. like you guys, I know I'm not as cool as you guys, but that only comes with age. Dude. You have to be like in your 60s or 70s to mob with them.
Yeah, dude, was Dale out?
No, dude.
No, dude.
Dale wasn't out there.
I hope Dale is out there on Christmas morning.
He might be. So, yeah. Alrighty. Let's pour some batchy right before we get into some coffee in 2023 talk.
Dude.
So I already forgot what we threw in here.
Yeah, that's a good brew. I brewed this coffee this morning. It was nice. What do you think?
I mean, I think there's some, you know, like, I think it's just solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely getting some chocolatey stuff going on. A little bit of like maybe raisin, just a hair.
Yeah. It's not like a big acidity coffee, but it's nice.
But I think it has some clear orange or grape. I'm not quite sure. I know those things are very different, but it's like there's definitely like a clear.
It's a nice little caramel thing going on with the chocolate.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Which is like, yeah, I think this is like
a
really solid daily driver that. I don't know. I can see this doing great on espresso, French press, filter coffee. If you're looking for something kind of pretty mild. Mild. Yeah. I mean, on batch brew, this is solid brew.
Yeah, solid. I can't complain. I mean, like you said, it's a daily driver. It's like non offensive, but it's also not a ooh ah kind of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh jeez. Had a sneeze coming. This is they're scoring it at 85.25. So it's not supposed to be anything bonkers, but I think even for like a solid like espresso blender, this would be a great addition. I don't know. There are many parts that you can throw a coffee like this, offer it, and actually we just added like a cupping literally yesterday at Makeworth with like a bunch of people from the community just coming together. Probably the most like non-coffee people cupping coffees that I've seen.
That's
like
wild.
you just don't see this. Most of the time it's just like coffee people.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but and some of the conversations that they were having and just was interesting, kind of reframes your perspective on coffees like this that you know, might not be like our favorites, but they still, you know, need to be utilized. They're still a big part of the industry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, this is a coffee that our friends Onyx Coffee, importers. So little shameless plug for them. If you're looking for some green Guatemalan coffees, almost forgot where, hit them up, get some tasty coffees. All of our coffees, almost all of our Guatemalan coffees come from them. The Jorge Mendez that should be dropping literally today, same day as the podcast, we source through them, and they do a spectacular job. They're pretty much as close to origin as you can get.
Yep.
Guatemalan owned. It's great. Anyways, they're giving some gifts out for their roasters, and they just had some green coffee. They're like, hey, can you guys roast this for us? So,
yeah, solid. And the coffee, I believe, is still available on their offering list. Yeah, it's a Todos Los Santos.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It's good. It's solid.
Yeah. No complaints. So.
Little pause there. I'm just savoring the taste.
Yeah, savoring the taste. Yeah, I'm like trying to figure out what's going on.
Before we dive in, I know this may be a very early Christmas episode for folks to listen to. I mean, that depends if folks are listening to the podcast on the day of the drop or what, but this could be a Christmas morning pod episode for many.
Let's go listen.
If you're listening to this on Christmas morning, bless you.
Yes, you're a real one. Listen,
you're a real one. Thanks for way having to go us. We're most likely having late lunch at parents' house. What are you brewing?
I'm a little biased, you know. I've been on that Colombia Alfonso Cordoba coffee that we dropped, which I think is just a fave for me. Jammy, fruity, punchy, all the good stuff.
Nice.
It could use some, you know, like some spices in the flavor profile, just for like the festivities of it.
Are you topping it off with some nutmeg and cinnamon? Like,
What's that?
Oh man.
Yeah. So probably that. Some I don't know.
Sick. I'm good. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I hope mom has the multi-layered honey cake. It would pair really nice. Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm looking for.
Or
I'm
some
like
tiramisu, maybe.
Dude, if mom pops off with some tiramisu this year, I would be here for it.
Yes, it's beautiful.
We're gonna have our classic spread. I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed. So that being said, we're wrapping up this year, which I think, I don't know, I say this every year, but it feels like it's just getting faster and faster. Literally feels like almost only a year ago we dropped the new bags, dropped the boxes.
Right.
Like, this was a fun, exciting year after the year before that was just no good.
No good. Like, havoc.
And havoc. And no good, what I mean is more like it was just like a lot of work, back end stuff, putting problem things solving into places, lots of problems arising.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this year felt a little more smooth sailing than last year. So that was fun, but it's crazy how it just goes by. And there was a lot of stuff that I think also happened in 2023. Mm-hmm. But that being said, Serge, give us, what's your favorite coffee of 2023?
Oh, man. I'm still thinking about, well, okay, back up.
Is this supposed to be a short answer?
If listeners really want to know what I thought, they should scroll back to the second episode or the first episode of the year when I said that Scott's coffee, Prodigal's La Argentina was going to be one of my favorite coffees of the year. I think it went from first to second, because first is that Mame coffee for sure. That was my favorite coffee of the year, hands down. Wow. And that was a pink Bourbon, right? It wasn't even something like crazy.
I think they were both pink Bourbons, no?
I'm a sucker for a good pink Bourbon. Yeah, yeah. It's one of my favorite varietals.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, I mean, I've had a good amount of coffee this year from different roasters and, you know, origins and stuff like that. That Mame coffee, just, I don't know why. You guys, if you've been listening to like the podcast regularly this year, that's come up in countless episodes. Yeah. Because it's just, I don't know what about it was. It's just so memorable.
Yeah.
That when I think back, it just sticks out like a sore thumb in my memory. Yeah. And unfortunately, I didn't even get to finish the whole bag of it.
Why? Did it expire? Like, that doesn't happen. You should have threw her on batch like 6 months post-roast. You know, that's what the cool kids do. Yeah, yeah. I mean, last night, Nate gave me a dig. He said our coffees are only good at 3 months post-roast.
Ours?
Yeah. I'm like, Nate, is that a critique? Or yeah. is that like yeah. a, are you praising our roast style or are you critiquing it?
Oh boy, yeah. That's not left up to context. So that yeah, could be interpreted sure. many ways.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were some stellar coffees. I think something also that I think is worth touching upon is not only did we drop like some of our new bags, new boxes, but even with coffee selection, we've kind of changed it up a little bit.
Yep.
And partly due to, you know, some of the relationships that we had in the industry, that kind of helped facilitate some of those things. Like, I think, you know, before we go on, I also do want to say is, for those of you who are asking questions about where should I find my green coffee or what should I, you know, kind of like if you're in the beginning stages of, you know, starting a coffee roasting company or even just working in coffee, the biggest thing I'd say is make relationships, connect with people, network a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, people are probably your biggest asset that will create the most opportunity for you in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that all being said, it was my first SCA. You've been to a few SCAs. Yeah. First time, you know, we went to SCA together, even as Mir. With all that being said, what comes to mind?
One of the things is the cupping we did with Shared Source. That was a fun one. We did we cupped out of the 3 days there, we did like five cuppings or something crazy like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a lot of cuppings. But that one really sticks out. One, because it was an importing company that was recommended to us by a good friend of ours, and we never really sourced from them before. So our very first interaction with Shared Source and their very, very small team was in person, which, I mean, it doesn't get better than that, right? Before you even choose a coffee or look at an offering list, you run into the owners of an importing company and you get to meet them in person. A little fun tidbit, we also got to hang out with the owners of Luna and got to bond with them. That was super fun.
That was cool.
And they ended up sourcing some of the coffees we sourced. So that was super fun. We also had a strategy because we sourced one of our favorite coffees on the cupping table, the Bourbona Heat, and it got destroyed.
That's true.
In an accident. About that. And that was a big bummer. I love that coffee. It was super tasty. Again, it's another Bourbon. We're suckers for a good Bourbon. So that was it. The cupping in general was fun. We had an interaction with someone from New York. That met us and was like, I know who you are. Y'all are from the podcast. That's always like a shocker. Like, wait, what? Like, it's pretty crazy.
I actually had somebody who's in, he's a friend of mine in Hawaii right now, who like sent me like a selfie at some like shop, I think. And was like, dude, this guy listens to your podcast. He knows you guys.
That's wild.
And I was like, wow. Yeah. Unexpected.
But unreal. So that was a big one. The cupping at Shared Source was absolutely excellent. Outside of that, we had a great time recording podcasts on the fly. All the gear, packed it up in your good old Mazda, and pulled up into our Airbnb, set up the thing, and actually invited the man, the myth, the legend, Tanner Colson, has been a dear friend of us and of the pod. Invited him over to the Airbnb, got to talk to him in person, had a great conversation. I think the topic, the main key of that episode was basically looking at those followers count on your thing and then being able to come to SCA and actually, instead of looking at the numbers, looking at the faces are behind the numbers. And that was pretty monumental. That was a big deal. That's how SCA felt for us, because we saw a lot of our friends, especially people we met during 2020, and we got to meet them in person and hang out and talk and actually like give hugs. That was a big deal. And I really enjoyed that. And then I'll finish this one up and then you can take over. The other person now, another, has been a very dear friend. We bonded on a very rich and deep level, which I absolutely love. Kyle Rozelle of September Coffee and the famous YouTube influencer. and YouTube content creator. Got to hang out with him and really bond and talk about mm-hmm. life, our, you know, jobs before coffee, and then recorded another podcast with Kyle, which was a treat. Kyle is a gem of a human. Like I wish I could hang out with him all the time. He's great. 100%. So I really like him a lot.
Yeah, I think as you know, as we're talking about these things, the interesting common theme is just like even some of the stuff that we will be talking about here shortly mm-hmm. is like just relationships, just a lot yeah. of really spectacular interactions, connections, networking. Yeah, the podcast with both Tanner and Kyle were so memorable. Mm-hmm. Like that was a stellar experience with the setup at the Airbnb, meeting people at, you know, SCA, everything, all yeah. of that. And I think like, yeah, that was like just such a big highlight.
For sure.
And also like probably, I think it's just such a core part of even the coffee industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like I'm glad that's how last year went.
Yeah.
Full of those small interactions. Like even my, you know, little interaction with, you know, in Singapore where a barista, right. you know, recognized me from the podcast. It's just yeah. like a lot of these really like fun, like relational networking, connecting with Shared Source, getting some yeah. new coffee. I mean, Shared Source, I think probably was able to offer us some of the best coffees I think we had all of last year. Mm-hmm. The Jorge Rojas honey process,
right.
which I was not expecting to taste that good, but we sold through that very quickly yeah. and it was just a ripper of a coffee.
Yeah.
It, you know, some of our friends scored it pretty high. I mean, the coffee that we have right now that we just dropped, the Huela, is also sourced through them. Like just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, I love that the industry, this, I think amidst all the rustle and bustle of mm-hmm. owning a coffee company, all this stuff, there's still definitely that underlining tone of, hey, we're all in this and we all love coffee and we're all pursuing excellence and quality and really exceptional yeah. experiences through this beverage.
Yeah. And also just different avenues in the industry, right? We talk about this beverage that holds everything together and that mm-hmm. creates this unique moment at the table around the beverage. But the folks sitting at the table are not all just baristas, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about Emily Bryant. I got to hang out with Emily quite a bit this year mm-hmm. and hang out with Emily and hearing her talk about all the content that she's producing and the things that she's doing in the industry. That's like not just being a barista. Yeah. It's also very exciting for me because it opens doors for people mm-hmm. who have different skill sets. 100%. And you don't have to limit yourself towards a service job if you want to be in coffee. Even though for me personally, like I love the service aspect. Yes. I love taking orders. I love brewing espresso. I love connecting with people, but that is not the limitation of what you can do in coffee, mm-hmm. which is exciting. Like if you want to run an importing company or you want to work for Shared Source, there's opportunities, yeah. you know, if you want to be a barista, there's opportunities. But if you just want to like shoot photos and tell stories and create content around this concept of coffee because you love coffee so much, like you can do that. Like I think Jimmy hit 20K this year or yeah. just recently on Instagram or yeah, one of the cool. social platforms
cool. yeah.
and is basically doing that. So I think this year has just been a great year of connecting personally with people, but also helping folks know that and be inspired to be in coffee by not just the cliche of being a barista.
For sure. Totally agree. Yeah, that's spectacular. I think actually the complete flip side is this. I think 2023, I've worked behind a machine more than the last 3 years combined.
That's true.
Which has been such a pleasure. Yeah. I did not go get a coffee job, but I've just had opportunities to jump behind a setup.
Yeah.
You know, get my hands dirty with some espresso yeah. grounds and pull some shots yeah. and, you know, spend a little more time behind bar. Yeah. And I've absolutely loved that. It's yeah. that just hands-on experience all over again felt so nostalgic yeah. to the days that I did sure. work behind bar.
Yeah.
And so, I think,
I mean, I got to toot your horn on the fact of you brewing coffee. You're also still the reigning Canadian Comandante Brewers Cup champion. That was a big deal this last year. You got to hit that off, and it was a very fun time over with our friends at Nemesis in Vancouver, BC. Mm-hmm. You slayed it. You killed the comp. We got to have a good time, meet some good people. And then on top of that, you dropped the recipe, which went off on the gram. It was great. Yeah, and on the YouTube video, it was like, it was super dope.
That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I forgot about that for a second, but yeah, that also, I think, plays into what I enjoyed a lot about that is, of course, winning is fun and I want to win at everything I do.
Yeah.
But I think the really enjoyable part was like that connection, that those connections that came from it. Not only from posting a tutorial that ended up, you know, getting thousands and thousands of views and people are, you know, literally commenting on the video. And if you haven't watched that, I'd recommend you do, mm-hmm. because I think it's a stellar recipe.
Yeah.
I was actually going to compete for, Onyx's, you know, US AeroPress championships, but I was just out of the country and so just missed it by a day. But it's a great recipe, but it was awesome to also to see the comments and people are like, man, this is actually like a really stellar recipe that is tasting good. But also all the, you know, the relationships that I was able, like those networking opportunities with everybody at Nemesis, the team there, the team from Comandante was really awesome. Good vibes everywhere.
Good overall. It was great.
Yeah.
Good competition year for you too, because you also competed US Coffee Champs for roasting, which was a new experience for you and also a very good learning experience in how to prep and how to get yourself ready. But yeah, how did you enjoy that? Would you do it again? Would you recommend that people and other maybe roasters, baristas go into comp?
Yeah. I think we talked about this, you know, in a previous episode, but for sure, I think if you're passionate about what you do, whether you're a home barista, actually, I want to see more home baristas compete. But whether you're a home barista, you know, you've been working in the industry for a long time, or maybe you haven't, like maybe you're just kind of fresh and new into the industry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt. Like, of course, you don't want to spend like an arm and a leg, you know, that might hurt if you, you know, get really invested, but it's worth trying. You know, at the end of the day, it's just about like, how do we have fun, compete, enjoy this craft that we have and make the most of it, you know? Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of it. I don't know if I'll do it again, but we'll see. It's like, depending on the day that I wake up, some days I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. No, never mind.
Depending if you're in Dubai or not or something like that, you know, you never know.
I might go compete in Dubai, though.
Yeah, something like Dubai's that.
AeroBriz championships. So, speaking of that, like we did some traveling. I think this year was a huge, huge travel excursion year.
Yeah.
I went to Guatemala, went and saw, you know, Jorge Mendez with a few other producers, got to go on my first like Guatemalan origin trip and origin trip in general. Mm-hmm. And then we tried to go to both make it to Indonesia. I didn't make it, but you did.
Yeah. I mean, that was wild in itself. Yeah. the whole process of the passport, the 100%. Visas, getting stuck in Kuala Lumpur, then having a nice little time in Singapore. That was fun. Yeah, for me, that trip was pretty iconic simply because it put a lot of things in perspective and also helped me process what sustainability looks like and then ask the questions that follow up behind, should you just pay more money for coffee or is that a cop-out, right? So I think that helped me learn a lot about origin or specifically about producers in the region of Indonesia I was in. But it also inspired me to create more impact through coffee that not only banks on the fact that I can write a bigger check or buy a more expensive coffee. And again, just to clearly say this, I think coffee deserves, I mean, producers deserve to receive fair and good compensation, like more than good. Like I don't have a problem with seeing producers that are wealthy or rich that have created. It's because it's on, there's honor in paying more money for something that is actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think just a financial reward for good coffee is the best way to reward producers. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I learned in Indo. I'm like, man, probably a more sustainable and ethical way to support farmers is to maybe build a community center, which I hope to continue to work on throughout next year, and connect with people that are on the ground, like our buddy Taylor, and see what can we do to not just buy the coffee. And again, here's a, if you haven't listened to the episode with Taylor, he builds a very good frame of reference on why just buying and exporting coffee isn't the most sustainable way, because a lot of coffee in Indo, in that region, stays in Indonesia, and that's why the prices are so competitive, because the coffee scene's blowing up in Indo. Yeah. That's a good thing. That's what we always talk about and dream
100%,
about.
100%. Yeah, that was cool for you to experience, but also me experiencing not necessarily the same things, but similar, you know, concepts and impactful experiences in Guatemala. And speaking of that, like, today, this morning, not only will this podcast drop, hopefully, but also the, finally, you guys, finally, it's completed.
Whoa.
I finalized some translation things.
Let's go.
And it is pretty much exported, ready to go, and will be dropping this day. So with the, alongside with the podcast. So that's exciting. Yeah. That's also like a really big highlight is like,
I'm actually going to go turn on my notifications on YouTube.
Yeah, you should too if you're watching this on YouTube.
Yeah.
But that's also something really exciting that was able to come out of this year. This is just a glimpse, you know.
Yeah.
It's just something, a small piece out of the whole pie of what we're hoping to accomplish, you know, in the future. And so that's all refreshing and really nice and really good, and I'm just pumped.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Outside of that's like a lot of personal stuff that we've just like kind of talked about. Outside of that, a lot of things happen in coffee, just on a big scheme of things. We saw a new launch of La Marzocco, kind of redoing their gear side of stuff.
For sure.
The Melconi La Marzocco sink thing that came out. That's super exciting. Of course, I'm not like, I love the idea. I have not used one. I want to see it all be flushed out. Like, I'm highly skeptical of all of that, because tech is great. I love tech. We all, you and I, love that kind of stuff. But to see it actually function well is my side of the skepticism. Like, I want to play around with it, and I want to see it work well. It's the same thing. I was very skeptical of the KB90, and now I'm less skeptical of it. So stuff like that that I'm excited that's happening in the industry that's allowing for cafes to be more successful, better bar flow, right? Better efficiencies, things that will actually benefit cafes and help cafes stay in business because of the equipment side of things. And also, I mean, who doesn't like fun, good new equipment? Like,
I
acquired a new grinder this year, even though I didn't pay for it. You know, I acquired one.
Yeah.
At one point, we had 5 espresso machines in the house, 5 or 4. Like, now we don't, but we did. So stuff like that. Like, we all like a good piece of equipment that serves its purpose well, and then 100%. Also is a little innovative. And then, yeah, of course, the EK, the new one, the Omni, we talked about it on a previous episode. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. We've yet to cop one.
Right.
But eventually.
Yeah, we haven't copped one yet, but I don't know if it's smart or necessary, but I'm going to do what I, we'll do what we can to cop one. So. Yeah. At least for the sake of review, you know, why not? You know, pay an arm and a leg for a grinder just to review it. Yeah.
10 videos.
Yeah, dude. Exactly.
Just 10 B-roll sequences. We're good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there was some fun stuff that was released this year, gear wise. It was just good.
It's good year.
I think there's plenty for, you know, home brewers, home baristas, cafes, all to munch on and chew on and work on. And I don't know if it's ever going to stop. It feels like it just keeps new equipment, new gears being put out, which is, it's exciting. There's a pro and a con for
sure.
It all. So,
yeah.
Any last thoughts?
Last thoughts. It's a good year. I'm excited to see what 2024 brings. Everything from, you know, competition to the coffees that we're going to acquire. We've been talking some hot heat during our actual roaster sessions about copying a certain varietal. Just a teaser left there. So maybe we'll make something happen. We will.
Okay, we will.
Good. Love to hear
you
that.
You guys, the real coffee roaster warm sessions agreed that we're this will be the year of the geisha. So
let's go.
I'm just putting it on the the record there.
Y'all keep Mark accountable. Like, I want a DM every month saying, hey, have you bought a geisha yet? Please.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, it'll be a treat. Mm-hmm. It'll be a treat for sure. Which is exciting. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. So we'll have to do another episode, maybe not the next one, or maybe, who knows, about what we plan to do for 2024. That would be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for listening to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. If you're listening to this on Christmas morning, thank you. Thank you. I feel the love.
Should throw on my buds and listen to this during the eagle watching.
Yeah. But if you're not, otherwise, thank you for listening. Thank you for an awesome year of podcast listeners. As we always say, remember, folks, reflect what's good.